This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptic prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 29, Crap of the Week.
Crap of the Week. This is something we do from time to time, once again, where I'll talk about a film that Chris may not have seen, and he'll talk about a film I haven't seen, and we'll just sort of, you know, kind of
shoot the breeze, yeah.
Shoot the breeze, yeah. So I'll start off. I mean, I saw a really, really entertaining movie this week called The Humanoid. And this movie, this was a, and we've also talked about it on the podcast, these Italians.
Yeah, these rip-off artists.
They love to rip things off. Yeah. I mean, there's never been a Hollywood blockbuster idea they have not ripped off,
right? Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, of course, in the late 70s, with the success of Star Wars, we were given tons and tons of Italian rip-offs. One of my favorite being Star Crash, right? I reviewed that on our site. Reallyawfulmovies.com, directed by Luigi Cozzi, or otherwise known as Lewis Coates. In his Iron-sized version. And this, too, is a Star Wars ripoff, actually. This is directed by a gentleman by the name of Aldo Lada. Hmm. And Aldo Lada is, he directed Night Train Murders, which was a really good one. But, I mean, for this piece of crap, he was actually billed, I mean, this is how shameless it was. He was billed internationally as George Lewis. George Lucas, but George Lewis. With a Star Wars ripoff, we got to have a familiar opening crawl, you know.
Yeah.
And, we got to see the ship, flying in. And it's kind of funny because when we see the first few ships, they look like origami paper airplanes, you know. That, like, you would make in, like, you know, grade three. You know, just like, and then when we see the main ship, it looks like plastic. It's completely, like, cheap as all hell. And before you know it, we're introduced to our villain, Lord Growl. Okay?
Well,
spelled G-R-A-A-L, but pronounced growl, as if, you know, the animal growled, right? And Lord Growl is dressed like, I mean...
Lord Gravel.
Yeah.
Turns your stomach.
He's dressed in, like, honestly, like, you've seen Spaceballs, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
You remember
he's
Dark
on
Helmet?
The golf course working on his putts.
Do you remember Dark Helmet?
Yes.
Played by Rick Moranis?
Rick Moranis.
He looks like Dark Helmet. I mean, he's supposed to be Darth Vader, you know, but whatever. Lord Growl, he looks like a cross between a samurai, you know, black suit samurai with a gigantic helmet. He looks like Dark Helmet. It's hilarious. And before you know it, we're on our familiar desert planet, of course, where there's a...
Is it a desert prison planet?
It's not a prison planet, but it's a planet where there's a woman... This is supposed to be our Princess Leia stand-in, right? And she has a wonderfully exotic name of... You ready for this? Barbara Gibson.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Barbara Gibson is hilarious. I mean, she's played by Corinne Clary, who, I don't know if you recognize the name, but she played Kala in one of our favorite movies, Yor.
Hunter from the Future.
Yep. And so she's there, and she's some sort of, like, teacher of some sort in an institute, and she gets this message from one of her students named Tom-Tom. Tom-Tom is this little Asian kid, right? And he's got some sort of telepathic ability. Come home, Barbara Gibson, come home. Fortuitous enough, because before you know it, the stormtrooper stand-ins come in and destroy the entire institute and everything. So, I mean, this is a really convoluted plot in the sense that Barbara Gibson's brother, I don't know, something was stolen called the Capitron, okay? And the Capitron has the ability of turning humans into humanoids, okay? So you go from being, like, you know, a regular human into this, like, monosyllabic monster. And before you know it, we're introduced to Richard Kiel.
Yes, James Bond fans will know him as
Jaws.
Jaws, right. Yeah.
Well,
he's 7'2", I believe. He's got this metal grill.
Right.
I forget the Bond films he was in, but he was a menacing villain.
Well, in this movie, I mean, he starts off, he's bearded, completely articulate, and he's like the hero. I mean, so what ends up happening is that there's also this other evil female, and she's played by Barbara Bach. Okay, Barbara Bach is the wife of Ringo Starr. And she's also a former Bond girl, so she appeared in a couple movies with Richard Kiel. And she plays this woman who, sort of like an Elizabeth Bathory type woman. I mean, she wants to maintain her youth at all costs, and she has this weird sort of Iron Maiden contraption where they like suck out the essence of women. But it's hilarious because she's got this like hairpiece that looks like a bearskin rug. It's really, really bizarre. They use the Capitron, and they turn Richard Kiel from a human to a humanoid. Okay, so he goes in the water, and all of a sudden, you know, this missile falls in the water, and it's full of the Capitron, and he emerges no longer bearded, and he's now a humanoid. So he's like some sort of like monster. Now, Richard Kiel is a human special effect, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So no makeup. All he had to do was shave off his beard, shove off those chompers, and grunt monosyllabically. So, he's, you know, all of a sudden now he's the villain, and he's going in, and he's trying, they want to get Barbara Gibson for different reasons. I mean, the princess wants her essence to retain her beauty, and, you know, the other, Lord Grawl wants her for some other reason, I can't remember. But, Tom has this ability, you know, this telepathic ability, and at one point he says to the humanoid, you know, he goes, "May your essence return to your body. Let me reach into your heart and into your soul." And he slowly turns him back into a human. You know, it's not an instant transformation; it's a gradual transformation. But it's kind of funny because the name of Kiel's character is Gollum or something, which is kind of like galoot,
Gollum?
Or like a big galoot or something. I mean, he really is a big galoot. But anyway, I mean, you know, the whole point is like they got to keep this our exactly named hero, heroine Barbara Gibson, protected. There's also like some sort of Luke Skywalker esque guy, and he's pretty forgettable. The planet's name is Metropolis.
Fritz Lang.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking nutty. I mean, you basically have this trio of like this Luke Skywalker stand-in, Kiel, who's, you know, now who went from being the humanoid back to the human, and Tom, and they're trying to rescue, you know, Barbara Gibson. She just captured one point from Nefarious Growl and Crespin. That's another guy. And I forgot to mention too. Instead of Chewbacca, Kiel has Robodog. Okay, and Robodog, he's a robotic dog, and he looks like a recycling bin with like a dot matrix printer for a head and an antenna. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. And Tom, he not only can he does he have a telepathic ability, he can also like summon these white clad archers at any moment's notice to get, you're like looking at me this quizzical expression.
Well, like an archer, like what good is an archer? This is a futuristic movie, right?
I know. Well, I mean, you got your lasers, you got your pew 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 and all that. I mean, it's fucking nutty. I mean, like I said before, these Italian ripoffs, I mean, they're nuts. But they're so bloody entertaining, and this one too is entertaining. I mean, if you want to see a movie where, you know, Richard Kiel plays a sympathetic character, as opposed to always playing Jaws, right?
Yeah.
If you want to see a movie where, once again, I mean, they don't give a shit if anybody realizes they're ripping things off. I mean, they're just ripping things off left, right, and center. It's such a ripoff, they might as well call it Better Business Bureau. That's how much of a ripoff this is. And, it's an entertaining movie.
We did also talk about Land of Doom on our podcast, which has the sand people from Star Wars, the most shameless ripoff. So this really distills all of that.
Yep.
And throws everything at the Star Wars kitchen sink and just incorporates every element of Star Wars.
What I love about this movie too is that you have, I mean, Spaceballs was a parody of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And you had Dark Helmet, but this movie like predated Dark Helmet. You had Dark Helmet in the humanoid before Dark Helmet. So, I mean, I love this movie. It was goofily entertaining, and I recommend it. So, you know, we call this crap of the week, but this is not crap. This is entertaining. So that's what I watched. How about you, Chris? What did you watch?
So I got a couple of different horror films. Mm-hmm. And I think I previously on a podcast alluded to horror as being like the blues, where they have sort of a standard format where it's like three chords, 12 bars.
Woke up this morning.
Yeah, but that's unfair because it's way more disparate and interesting and open-ended. It's more like jazz because these two movies I watched this week couldn't be more different, but yet they're in the same genre. The first one is Open Grave, which is your fairly standard nefarious military experiment movie. So you have this guy who appears in the eponymous open grave, and he doesn't know how he got there. And, someone lowers a rope into the grave, and he climbs out, and he finds out he's in the middle of the wilderness, finds a bunch of survivors holed up in a house, none of these people know how they got there or what they're doing there. All they know is that there's a grave there and their lives are in danger. He doesn't know how he got there either, so he joins this group.
But this is a trope I've seen many times.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we've seen it a bunch of times.
Cube, I mean, there's an enormous cube and no one knows how they got there. There was a film you recently reviewed called Awakened. They're all in this island and...
Yeah, and that's a sort of a Kafkaesque thing, too, where they're being experimented on. These people end up on a tropical island after having their drugs spiked, and they end up... Awaken.
And so, I've never seen an episode of the show, but I mean, Lost, wasn't that like a similar...
Yes, that's what IMDb critics were likening this movie to. But, again, this is another thing where... I guess we referenced it prior, 10 Little Indians, where the Agatha Christie novel, where the killer is among them, but they don't know who it is, and then someone is obviously taking care of business. This is a sort of variant on that. So they all are obviously in this house, and they're armed to the teeth. There's this open grave right nearby. They're in the middle of nowhere, as they can attest by looking up at the sky and looking at the... at how visible the stars are, so they can surmise that, hey, we're not near any sort of big city. Because
did they get cell reception?
No. red herring, no cell reception.
Exactly.
So these guys are in this house, and they don't know who to trust. They're all armed. They reluctantly let this guy into the fold, this guy from the open grave. Mm-hmm. And then I guess they have to try and figure their way out of things. And of course there's a road, because you can't just... have a house in the middle of the woods with no means of getting to and fro. And so they... And then, of course, I guess the other red herring they deal with is, in addition to the cell phone and they're being in the middle of nowhere, is none of them has any recollection of why they're there. Mm-hmm. But occasionally, a memory will be triggered of something, but it's nebulous, of course. And
That again, I've never seen an episode, but I know just by, things have been, filtering around, the blogosphere and the internet. I mean, Lost would do that quite a bit, know, they would always have, all of a sudden you see a flashback of something. So this seems very Lost-esque. Yeah.
Yeah, and the one guy who's possibly implicated as being this doctor who's involved in this covert military experiment on these human subjects. And there's a couple of creepy scenes where they're, again, to keep them in this remote house in the middle of nowhere. You obviously have to keep them there, or else they would just leave or try to find help. Mm-hmm. But there's obviously dead bodies strewn about in addition to the open grave, marking the demarcation points of the property of this home. So there's one guy who's trussed up in barbed wire. And he's hanging there, but he's just clinging to life. And there's a super creepy scene.
That sounds interesting.
So that's kind of neat. Yeah. And then they try and they find a vehicle and they try and leave. But that's sort of one interesting film. And then, again, horror is disparate. Horror is open-ended. And the genre lends itself to all different types of movies. So the next one couldn't be any more different and yet similar to all these movies we grew up with in the 80s. This one's called Babysitter Massacre. And so with a title like that...
Was it Babysitter Massacre or The Babysitter?
No, this was Babysitter Massacre.
Oh, okay.
It's the standard...
We love movies with massacre.
Yeah, love massacre movies. There's Sorority House Massacre, Drive-In Massacre, Hospital Massacre.
Like I said, one of these
Slumber
days,
Party Massacre. One of these days
they gotta make a movie called Massacre. And we'll make that movie one of these days. Maybe we'll do a Kickstarter or something. You know, the really awful team doing a really awful movies team making a movie called Massacre.
That would just be fantastic. Babysitter Massacre is your standard 80s throwback of a bunch of Ohioans, residents of Ohio, small town. I guess it probably just post-collegiate or in college, women who all were babysitters at one time. So they decide to reunite under the pretext of having a babysitters club reunion.
The Babysitters Club.
Yes.
That was a famous series of books. I remember my sister read those when she was young. Yeah, so
and,
okay. Babysitters Club.
This group of women, mm-hmm. They reconvene this club, and I guess...
So wait, let me stop right here. So they have a club based on the fact that they were once...
They were all babysitters when they were 14, and now we flash forward ahead...
That's a bit of a flimsy premise as far as I'm concerned.
It definitely is. Well, there's more to it than that. I guess at the time, one of their friends was murdered, and they blame... Not so much blame, but they resent one of their friends for not being there for their friend who was murdered as part of a buddy system. So she sort of, I guess she might have fled, they don't make it clear, but she wasn't there to help her friend who was subsequently murdered. Mm-hmm. So there's that, but they flash forward ahead 7 to 10 years, whatever it is, they're all in college. They said, oh, let's get our club back together. We were all babysitters at this time. They get together on Halloween, and they are hunted down by a masked killer. And
this sounds exceedingly original.
Oh, I gotta say, obviously there's nods to Halloween.
Right.
There's even a scene where the killer whose face is obscured by a white stalking mask, where you know he's stalking one of his victims, and the victim thinks he's playing a prank, and that it's her boyfriend. So
naturally,
that's straight out of Halloween.
Yeah.
And the Mike Myers infamous ghost scene. Mm-hmm. But there's something to be said for this. It's really, really atmospheric.
Okay.
And an interesting thing that makes it different from horror films of its ilk is, not to disparage them, but none of these women are particularly lookers. They're cute girls. They're Midwestern girls. Mm-hmm. All of them get naked at the drop of a hat.
Okay, well, that's
which is great, and they're all different body types, which is interesting.
That's
which
good
you
too.
Don't see in a horror film. Mm-hmm. So you have the more buxom, more curvy woman, and so that's something really you don't see. And also there is a little exploration of how you deal with grief, which is actually very, very touching and almost kind of sweet. But then again, once it gets to its gory climax, precipitated by, I guess, this killer who's all tracking them down, and I guess they're getting texted pictures of women who are bloody and tied up and whatnot, and they explain it away as it being a Halloween prank. So they get these pictures sent to them by the killer. I don't know how he got their phone numbers, but they don't really explain that. But and they get these pictures of obviously these women who are, you know, bloody, and they figure, oh, it's just them playing a prank. And also in a nod to 80s slasher flicks, they decide to don lingerie.
And
they have a pillow fight. So as part of their, you know, so this is a great, great fun, and again, super low budget, expertly crafted for a film that probably might have cost $300,000. So don't let the title sway you. Babysitter Massacre, an interesting homage. Like these guys obviously knew what they were doing with their source material, and they even reference, I guess, Sorority House Massacre 2 in the film. So a really kind of fun movie.
See, but the one thing I do hate, I mean, like I see a lot of these throwback movies where, you know, they want to recreate the 80s slasher vibe, and it's very self-conscious. There's like it's always like, you know, this like
it's demeaning,
like wink-wink sort of thing, you know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, okay, they're recreating it, but at the same time, it's very cynical.
Yeah.
You don't don't see the affection for the genre. It's like, hey, okay, we gotta do the perfunctory, like, let's all put on lingerie and do a pillow fight scene. Does this film have affection for the genre?
Oh, for sure it does. And and again, there's obvious craft and love went into this thing.
How about the gore? What's the gore like?
I guess it updates the genre a little bit with this sort of the horror porn kind of genre that's in vogue now, where some of the victims are trapped and tied to chairs, and the killer takes a straight razor to them.
So that's a question, though. When they're tied up and trapped, do they say to the killer, "You don't have to do this"?
There is a variant on that. And they say, like, "Why are you doing this?" I believe, and the killer says, he explains it away as, like, "Why shouldn't I be doing this?" So that was a really interesting nod. I mentioned that in our review on the site. It'll be coming up shortly. That was a real kind of cool thing for us to see, because that's one of our pet peeves. It's like when the victim says, "Why are you doing this to me?"
You don't have to do this.
Why not? Yeah, you don't have to do this. Well, they do.
I want to do it, I'm going to do it, you know?
So I'll grudgingly give Open Grave a thumbs up, because again, it's we've seen sort of the nefarious, creepy, militaristic human experiment genre that's sort of done to death. Although this was quite well executed and interestingly shot, and I think it was filmed in Hungary. So it has tons of atmosphere. That's cool. Babysitter Massacre. Shot on location in Akron, Ohio. I guess I don't know much about Akron. It's the birthplace of basketball player LeBron James, I believe.
I was there for a night once when I was younger, driving to Florida. I think.
I've been to Columbus and Cleveland. Yeah. Okay, what's Akron like?
I don't remember, but I mean, I remember a little more of Cincinnati, but I don't remember Akron. Yeah. I know we were there, but anyway.
Nice. Well.
Yeah. Shot on location in glamorous Akron.
Good, yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah.
And, I guess we'll be revisiting this series.
Yeah.
Crap of the Week, and don't let the title sway you. This is not necessarily crap, although sometimes it is. It's just a fun, low-budget films that we happen to rent or come across online.
Right. Just to reiterate, I mean, The Humanoid, I mean, it's crap, but it's great crap. I mean, it's wonderful, and I couldn't recommend it more highly. So, more high. I mean, I'm an English teacher. I shouldn't be using two comparatives like that. Yeah. But anyway, it's great. So if you can find that one, give it a watch. You'll love it. That to me is, you know, a good, like, 3.5-4 stars. And
for sure.
Yeah, so, and you talked about Open Grave, and you talked about Babysitter Massacre.
Yeah, I'd put Babysitter Massacre slightly higher, so 3.5 and 3 star respectively, both worth checking out.
Okay. I'm gonna look for Babysitter Massacre. I'm intrigued.
For sure, definitely check it out. And for more, check out reviews Monday, Wednesday, sometimes Thursdays. More to come here. We'll have special guests, giveaways, and whatnot. Anyway, reallyawfulmovies.com, and we shall talk to you soon.
Take care.